Evidently, the battery in this is dead or something. No lights coming on. Oh, yeah, it is. I'm sorry. I just didn't see it. Psalm 60. Now, the title speaks of what took place in 2 Samuel chapter 8. David says, O God, Thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. Oh, turn Thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed Thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment or trembling. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee, that it might be displayed because of the truth. Selah, that Thy beloved may be delivered. Save with Thy right hand and hear me. God hath spoken in His holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine hand. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for He it is that shall tread down our enemies. Let's pray. Lord, we come into Your presence with thanksgiving. We're so thankful for the blessed privilege of opening up Your Word. But Lord, we're aware that we can't understand anything in Your Word unless You're pleased to make it known. We pray for Your Spirit that we might be enabled by Your grace to hear Your gospel from Your Word. Lord, we thank You for who You are. We thank You that You're God and beside Thee is none else. We thank You for the salvation that You've given in Your Son. We thank You for all Your glorious attributes. We thank You for Your providence. We thank You that You're in control of everything and everybody. Truly, we're thankful. We're thankful for the trials You send our way because we know they come from You, for our good and for Your glory. Lord, we ask for the forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake. We pray for Your presence with all Your people wherever they meet together. We pray for our friends that aren't here, that You'd keep them by Your grace. Now bless us for the Lord's sake. In His name we pray. Amen. Now if you would read 2 Samuel chapter 8 about the events that took place, it seems like they're all victories. They're all wins. And yet, when David speaks of what takes place, he speaks of them as losses. Now, you read 2 Samuel 8 when you get a chance. You don't read anything but victories. And we know this is what David is speaking of from this title. And it is all defeats and losses in the way he felt about it. Look what he says in verse 1. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. Oh, turn thyself to us again. He felt like the Lord had turned away from him. And he says, Lord, turn yourself to us again. David speaks of these victories as defeats. Now, perhaps there were heavy casualties, and David believes it's because of their sin. He says, you've cast us off. You've scattered us. You've destroyed us. You've been displeased with us. What I thought about in this statement of David's is he put all the blame on them. This is so important. We have a tendency in everything to be just like Adam. The woman that you gave me, she gave me of the fruit, and I did eat. Every problem we have, we ought to be saying like the apostles when the Lord said, one of you are going to betray me. How did they respond? Is it I? Is it I? Every one of us should look to everything that happens, every disagreeable thing, every difficult thing. It's my fault. It's my fault. It's not somebody else's fault. I'm not a victim. It's my fault. I wish I would always look at everything in that light. Always look to my... It's not them. It's me. And that's what David is saying at this time. In the cause of all these problems, we are the problem. What he says, thou hast made the earth to tremble. This is talking about the immensity of God. When he sees the Lord God, he makes the entire earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Everything seems to be going bad. You ever been there? You ever felt that way? Well, the first thing to remember is this. I'm the problem. And David realized that. May God give me and you the grace to be that way. I am the problem. You know, when I say things like that, I think, why don't you listen to what you're saying? I am the problem. Conflicts, I'm not without guilt. I am the problem. And that's what David is saying. But let's go on reading. He does what he so often does in the Psalms. All of a sudden, it's like, it's totally different all of a sudden. Look what he says in verse 4. Thou hast given a banner, an ensign, a flag, something to be lifted up. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it might be displayed, so everyone can see it, because of the truth. Now here we have such a clear reference to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast given them a banner. Now, thou hast given them a banner. It's a gift of your grace. And this word banner means something lifted up to be seen. And the first time this word is even mentioned in the scripture is in Numbers chapter 21. Well, let's go ahead and turn there. Numbers chapter 21. Verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread. Do you know they had the manna fall on the ground that very day? There is no bread. Neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. Notice what they called the manna. Insubstantial. It's not enough for us to find true satisfaction. It's light bread. It used to be best bread they'd ever tasted. But it isn't anymore. Now the bread hadn't changed. They had changed. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We've sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, in the likeness, really, of the serpents that were biting the people, and set it upon a pole." Now that pole is the same word that we have in our text. What's it called? A banner. Yeah, I can't believe I forgot that, but I did. A banner. A pole for everyone to see. For everyone to see. And I love to think of Moses having that serpent up on the pole, and he was saying, "Look! All people were to do was to look to that pole, and anybody who looked at the serpent on the pole lived." They didn't look at their sores. They didn't look at their bites. They didn't look for ways to prevent the serpents from getting to them. They just looked to the serpent on the pole. And everybody that looked lived. Isn't that beautiful? This is the gospel. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thy name. I want you to turn to another passage of Scripture. Would you turn to Exodus chapter 17? This is where the one of the seven names of the Lord, Jehovah Nissi, comes from. And that word is the Lord our banner. The Lord our banner. Exodus chapter 17. Now, this is the first battle that took place after the children of Israel left Egypt. The war with Amalek. And the significance of this is, you're not really going to have a battle with sin until you leave Egypt, till God saves you. And when God saves you, that is when the battle with sin begins. You don't really understand sin. If you're unconverted, if I'm unconverted, if I'm unregenerate, oh, I see problems sin brings. The conflict, the problems in my life that sin brings. But you don't really understand what sin is until you're given a new nature. And then you see it's more than just bad things you do. It's what you are. It's what you are, and everything you do is bad because you did it. That's all the reason that's needed. Now, this battle did not take place till after they had left Egypt and entered the promised land. Now, let's begin in verse 8. Then came Amalek. Exodus 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. This was the first battle. And Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." The banner. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Moses, Aaron, the priest, Hur, his name means light. And this represents the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand so that all could see. This banner lifted up so that all could see. Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. Can you imagine what it would be like to just keep your hands lifted up? Of course they were heavy. He couldn't keep them lifted up. But here's the point I'd like to make. We have complete victory in Christ, don't we? Complete victory. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. We have victory. Do you always feel like you have victory? No. No. In your experience, when you're enabled to look to Christ, you win. In your experience, when you're not looking to Christ, you lose. Isn't that so? You know it in your own experience. When Moses kept his hands up, Israel won. When they went down and the banner was not seen, Amalek, the flesh, won. This is a picture of the battle between the spirit and the flesh. That's what this is given. And you're going to see this more as we go on. Let's go on reading. Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The priesthood, the intercession of Christ, the light of the Holy Spirit, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, you know what that word discomfited means? Weakened. Weakened. They weren't totally destroyed. They weren't all dead. They were weakened. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial, verse 14, in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Do you know that this is a battle that continually went on? Now, Amalek is not brought out of remembrance until every believer is dead. You don't remember the flesh anymore. You don't even remember what it's like to be a sinner. Isn't that amazing, that thought? It's so beyond our comprehension. But Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Same word in our text, Jehovah, our banner, the cross. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, this is talking about the continual battle between the spirit and the flesh. It's from generation to generation. It's going to continue going. It's going to continue going. And every day, every believer is called upon to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel's first battle after they left the promised land, the battle between the old nature and the new nature that will continue until the Lord puts it all down and Amalek won't even be remembered. I so look forward to that, to where I won't even remember what it's like to be a sinner. I'll look at the Lord's scars and I'll know the only reason I'm in heaven is because of what he did. I won't be looking to myself in any way. But what a thought that Amalek will be not even remembered. So go back to verse 4. Thou hast given a banner, the gospel, to them that fear thee. Who is it that appreciates the gospel? The person who fears God. What's it mean to fear God? Is it you're afraid you'll have a car wreck if you're disobedient, or you're afraid God will give you some kind of disease if you sin, and all the different foolish things we think? Here's what it is to fear God. You're afraid to look anywhere but Christ. You have that kind of fear? That's the fear of God. Not the fear of misfortune and bad things happening because you didn't do this or you didn't do that. That's not the fear of God. That's really the hatred of God. You look on him in a negative light. But the fear of God is where you have such respect and awe and reverence for his person that you won't look anywhere but Christ alone. Now that's the person who appreciates this pole, this ensign, this banner. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it might be displayed. Isn't that what the preaching of the gospel is? The displaying of the banner? Because of the truth. It's the gospel. It's the banner that declares the truth of the true character of God. It declares the true character of man. And it declares the true character of salvation. Verse 5. That thy beloved may be delivered. Every believer is his beloved. Every believer is his beloved. We had a wedding here at the church yesterday, and Mabel and Mason got married. And during the course of that wedding, I was talking about Christ's love for his church, thy beloved, Christ's special love for his church. And I said to Mason, if Mabel said to you, do you love me? And I said, well, I love you like I love every other woman. We'd have problems, wouldn't we? We'd have real problems. But oh, God's special saving love is towards his beloved, those in his Son. To make God's love for everybody without exception is to make God's love meaningless. Because if God can love somebody that's in hell, his love didn't do anything for them, did it? Oh, the beloved. Paul called the Romans beloved of God. That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand the Lord Jesus Christ. And hear me. God hath spoken in his holiness. Aren't you thankful God has spoken? God has spoken in his holiness. Now, this is David speaking. He says, I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and meet out the valley of Succoth. Now, these are places that he had not yet had victory over. But he says, since God has spoken and has given this banner, I've got the victory. I've got the victory. Do you know, if you're a believer, you have every victory in Christ. You've already got it. Even though it hadn't happened yet, God's promised it. And because of God's promise, it's already done when he promises it. If I say something, it might come to pass. Maybe it won't come to pass. I can't foresee what's going to happen. But when God says something, it's already come to pass. Even if it hadn't happened yet in your experience. And David says, these victories are mine. I've got them. Gilead, another people he had not yet triumphed over, is mine. And Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah. David understands. Judah, David came out of Judah. Judah is my lawgiver. Then he talks about Moab, Israel's enemy. They're my washpot. I wash my feet in them. They may cause me much trouble, but all they are is my washpot. They're a part of Romans 8:28. Over Edom, well, I cast out my shoe. I've got victory over them. Philistia, talking about the Philistines. Triumph thou because of me. I've got the triumph over you, is what that means from what I've read. I got the triumph over you. Who, verse 9, who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom in victory over Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which has cast us off, he's talking about what he's talked about in the first three verses. Wilt not thou, O God, which has cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go with our armies, that's why we were defeated. I wish this would be emblazoned in the heart of everybody here. Give us help from trouble, for vain. Vain. Useless. Without any power is the help of man. Vain is the help of man. It does not help. I wonder how much we understand this. I tell you when you understand it is when you cry with that man in Mark chapter 9, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I can't be helped unless you help me. Help thou mine unbelief. I think of the Syrophoenician woman when the Lord said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What a statement he made to her. She was crying for him, and he says in no uncertain terms, I've only come to save the elect. Now that's exactly what that means. I've only come to save the elect. What did she do? Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. If you don't help me, I will not be helped. Help me. Help us, Lord, for vain is the help of man. They can't do anything for us. I can't do anything for myself. I think of that statement, God helps those who help themselves. No, He doesn't. He only helps those who cannot help themselves. If you cannot help for yourself, you know what you're going to do? You're going to cry to Him for help. And not before then. Verse 12. Through God, we shall do valiantly, courageously. And here's why. For He it is that shall tread down our enemies. Notice He didn't say He will enable us to tread down our enemies. He doesn't say that, does He? He says He will tread down our enemies. He fights for us. This is not about us being enabled to do anything. This is Him doing it all. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God justified them. God did it. He did it all. We didn't have any hand in this. And since He is the one who treads down our enemies, we'll do valiantly. Will be encouraged in this fight. You remember, Amalek was discomfited. He was weakened. Now, my old nature is just as sinful as it ever was. And if I made any claim to the contrary, I'd be a lying hypocrite. And you would too. My sinful nature is just as sinful as it ever was. But sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have lordship over you. Sin's not your Lord. He is. And because of that, you will win. Amen.